Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
So this video I heard about last night for the first time is called The Alabama Leprechaun. And it's really old, so everyone listening's probably already heard this three years ago.
If I haven't seen it.
No, it's really old.
But that doesn't mean everyone's seen it. Well, whatever. Either way, we'll watch it right now.
You haven't seen it.
Yeah, and Ben, you haven't seen it, right?
And I think it's really funny. It's like the Antoine Dotson video where the bedroom intruder guy.
Yeah.
It's basically just making fun of poor black people.
Okay. Well, I like that. All right. You ready, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say
these guys
a
are.
Leprechaun.
Can you hear it? But see it, Ben?
Residents in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All I got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. You're still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy helping to direct traffic says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather who was Irish. I just came to help
Wait
out.
A minute.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the go. I want the go.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing.
Really
of it.
Good,
I'm actually with him on that.
Maybe Brian's sketch.
Doodling.
That was a good story.
I was actually going to bring that up, the amateur sketch, because they didn't need to put amateur in front of that sketch.
Yeah, right.
It was like on it was a lined piece of paper. You could see like the college rule lines on it. It looked like a third grader was bored in class.
I think there was a ring from a cup on it.
Yeah, like you don't have to put amateur.
It just looked like an alien with like a derby on.
With a top hat on. Yeah, derby. There you go. Man, I think I'm going to move to Mobile, Alabama.
And what?
You'd be the smartest guy there.
That place looks like a lot of really smart people live there.
I like the dude's theory. What I think it was a shadow from another branch.
He guessed.
He took a long time to explain it.
Oh, man.
I think he's up at the tree acting a leprechaun.
What was the that guy's grandparents were Irish?
Yeah. Then the one of the blackest guys I've ever seen.
That guy made Wesley Snipes look like powder.
Good. You should have said Woody Harrelson. That guy made Wesley Snipes look like he couldn't jump.
And didn't he say that special flute was it's been passed down for hundreds of years, but it was like a piece of lead pipe, and it had threading on it that they didn't do thousands or hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was made by a machine.
Well, another video debunked by the Shoddy Radio investigative crew.
That's pretty lucky that the leprechaun showed up just pretty close to that guy's house who was a descendant of leprechaun hunters.
Remember
because he's a black guy from Ireland.
Have you ever seen anything in your life that it seemed too crazy to be true? Like, have you ever seen a ghost or something?
We've had this discussion before.
Have we?
Yeah, Chris claims he saw Batman. No, he saw a giant flying bat.
Listen, I saw something flying that was leathery and shiny. It was huge, and there were two other people there with me witnessing the same thing.
Do the other two people still to this day claim that they saw what you say you saw?
Yes. I talked to him this morning.
Do you guys have like meetings about it?
Every day we reiterate our story to each other.
Wait, back up. So you think that you saw it was a bat, but it was just gigantic, or it was in the shape of a man?
Look, I don't know if you know this, but there are gene splicing experiments that our government does, because of course they do. Why wouldn't they? And are they going to tell us about it? Not until they figure out how to do it right. But then what happens to the man bats?
Sometimes so you're saying that it was in the shape of a man, but it had wings.
He didn't see.
I didn't see it. It was huge. It might. I'm not saying it was definitely a man bat. That's just one theory.
Where'd you see this at?
He also said because it was near Beale Air Force Base, near Maryland.
It could have been a spy plane.
Yeah.
A man bat.
How could it have either been a plane or a bat? Like, how high it's up not, in the sky was
those
it?
Those aren't the only things it could be. Those are two of the primary things it probably was.
But how close was it to you?
It was about 40 feet above the ground because it was about 20 feet off a 10-foot roof.
And you were on the roof?
30 feet off.
Were you on the roof?
No, I was on the ground.
Okay.
And I could tell because of how quickly it moved within vision from one roof across the street over our heads, out of vision behind trees next
that
to another roof.
That it was close, that it wasn't that high.
That it was close and moving quickly.
Now, so it sounds like it was pretty far away. How'd you see this leathery detail?
Because it was shining.
There was
some
daytime?
Light. It wasn't pitch
black. No, it was
black.
Night.
Yeah, it was night. And it didn't flap its wings or anything, and it didn't make any sound. It just glided really quickly. It could have been a leathery kite. That's one highly unlikely theory.
Was it windy that night? Windy enough to get a leather kite off the ground?
Yeah, there was a very slight breeze.
I don't know if you've ever messed with kites in your life, but they all have a pretty unique feature of being extremely light.
Yeah, leather doesn't seem like it would lend itself well to the kite
world.
It could
have been leather painting, like glossy paint. It didn't have to be leather.
Are you still... if you had to bet your life, like someone was going to kill you if you got this wrong, what would you guess it was?
I'd say it was an adult man bat.
I mean, seriously, Chris, you're going to be killed if you get it wrong and you're going man bat.
Well, I have to pick something. And
or that you may have misseen parts of it if you have to pick between.
Let me just say, in all seriousness, I haven't made any claims. I'm just saying I saw something weird. Right. And I listed a couple possibilities, but I'm not in love with either of them.
I understand that. But I'm saying if you had to, like if your life was literally on the line and... I want you to think about this seriously. Would you say that you thought it was a spy plane, some type of a gene-spliced man bat, or...
I'll say this. It was either man or machine, or both.
All right. Well, so yeah, Chris has seen something he couldn't believe. I don't think I have ever seen anything I couldn't believe. What about you, Ben?
I haven't yet.
You have plans?
Have you ever had like a crazy dream and then you wake up and you can't, like you don't really remember if it was a dream or if it really happened?
Definitely.
I had one of those. I think I either had a dream about aliens being outside of my window or once there was aliens outside my window.
Well,
I swear to God though, like it was like the next day I it was the weirdest thing because it's not like I woke up thinking that that just happened or that I dreamed that it just happened. It wasn't until like in the middle of the next day that I thought about it and I was like, oh shit, that happened yesterday. But I couldn't remember if I dreamed that or if it really happened.
What did the aliens look like? Do you remember?
It was just this thing where like I woke up. It was when my mom lived on Oro Banger Highway in Oroville.
Uh-huh.
And I remember just waking up in the middle of the night and like my room was like really bright in there, and you know, it was like in the movies, because you look at your window and like my blinds were closed, but they were like glowing, you know, yeah. Like that's where all the light was coming in. And then I like walk over to the window and I like spread the blinds with my fingers. And there was like three just silhouettes. They're like shadowy figures, but they had like weird shaped heads, you know, like they didn't look like people, but I didn't see any detail other than just like their silhouettes, but their silhouettes were like black. And it was just like nothing but white light behind them. I swear to God, like it's crazy because even today, like I can see it vividly in my mind, but I must have dreamt it.
Well, let me put this question to you.
Yeah.
Same question, basically. Let's say you didn't dream it.
Yeah.
What would be your explanation? Like if you had to put your life on the line, would you guess that it was aliens or would you say it was probably that you were sleepy and that like someone, your three friends had put their brights to your window and were standing out there or like.
Well, there was so much light that there was no way that it was like a car.
Right. It was
impossible. Almost like the whole background. It was almost like the entire universe was a white light. But if I had to make an educated guess, I would say it was three man bats.
Were they adults?
They had to be two children man bats and one adult man bat. There's no other explanation.
It's real funny when you never see a man bat. If you've seen what I've seen, you wouldn't be able to joke about it.
I think if the light hit it at a different angle, I would see leathery detail. Other than the man bat part, I swear to God, the rest of that's true.
Oh my God.
Same with my story.
Other than the man bat.
So it's true that you were hanging out with two people once?
Yeah. Well, one.
Shoddy Radio. So, Chris, do I understand this right, that you re-hacked into Brian's mainframe?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Has he changed his password or anything?
He has, but every time he changes it, I just keep rehacking it in. I'm like a Mexican drug lord trying to sneak cocaine in past the Coast Guard. Like, I take one step in technology, and then they take one step.
All right. So you're in, right? You've got the new script.
Yeah, and he's been updating it, and this shit is heating up hotter than the new Doritos third degree burn.
Well, you're full of analogies lately for Brian's script. Well, did you know, Chris, I've been hearing a lot of Oscar buzz about this script already, even though we're just reading it on a podcast.
Well, to be honest, that does not surprise me one bit, because Brian is a little Tennessee Williams. I feel like I'm learning more about him every day.
Mm-hmm. Brian, we should point out, Brian is the producer of our show, who is for his day job, he is a copy machine tech, and he's basically writing this script about his life. And he's turning it into a little bit, I think he may be taking a few liberties with the script.
So we've got James E. Enochs on the phone.
Mm-hmm. James E. Enochs. James is here. James is going to be playing the part, a part that apparently I wasn't up to.
James is playing the classic angry police chief.
With a twist.
No, what I mean to say is he's playing the classic angry copy machine repair technician chief.
Okay.
The old classic.
The old cliched.
Copy machine technician chief.
So are you ready to go, guys?
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So, James, I'm going to be playing the part of Brian, and as you know, you'll be the part of Chief. I'm also going to read the stage notes.
Okay.
So, if you're ready, the first note here says, Brian walks into his copy machine repair boss's office. You wanted to see me, Chief?
Well, if it isn't Master Tech Brian J. McCool... You've been living up to your reputation as a hothead, I hear.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been getting reports that you've been kicking a lot of ass while you're supposed to be fixing copy machines.
What's the problem?
The problem is, hotshot, that I'm paying you to fix copy machines. not fight with guys who are dishonoring women or solving crimes that the FBI has given up on because they were too hard.
Well, I don't ask for trouble. I guess it just has a way of finding me.
I think you're a punk. I think you wish you were still the captain of the Green Berets. Well, forget it, cowboy. That life is over. You work for me now. And if I'm not mistaken, you need this job.
It's true. You know that I need this job as a condition of my parole.
Sure, I know that. I haven't forgotten about how you got arrested 15 years ago because you killed two guys who were trying to rape Princess Diana. I also haven't forgotten that you were given an extra harsh prison sentence because you're so tough that your hands are registered as lethal weapons.
Well, if you remember all that, then why are you giving me such a hard time?
Because I need you on the job, goddammit! I've got the commissioner of Copytex breathing down my neck about this worldwide toner shortage. The guys from the Pentagon keep calling to tell me they have a paper jam. And on top of all of that, the president himself has just called and said his daughter has been kidnapped. And that his laser jet fax machine keeps telling him to refill paper when he knows for a fact that it has paper.
Did you say the president's daughter has been kidnapped?
That's none of your concern.
Oh, I know. I was just curious.
You better stay out of this one, McCool. I've got my eyes on you. If you screw up one more time, I swear to God, I'll have you refilling in cartridges in Sheboygan.
If you hate me so much, why do you keep giving me second chances? The chief turns around in his chair and looks out the window. He is suddenly quiet and reflective.
I've been doing this job a long time now, Brian. I've seen a lot of young punks come in here and think they're gonna change the world of copy repair. But most of them are all piss and no vinegar. You've got something the others don't.
Guts?
Maybe. Or maybe you just know an awful damn lot about copy machines.
Maybe. You're right.
Kid, I know your hands are lethal killing machines, but they're also the best goddamn pair of hands I've ever seen for opening tiny screws and getting into the hard-to-reach place that copy machines have that you need to get into in order to fix them.
Thanks, Chief. No one's ever believed in me before. I really respect you for giving me such tough love. I won't let you down.
Good. Now get your ass to Washington and fix that false reading on the president's fax machine.
You got it, Chief.
Now, Brian, I want you to promise me that you are only going to fix the fax machine and that you will not investigate any kidnappings or kick any asses or get mixed up in any kind of international espionage in any way.
I promise, Chief. Brian has his fingers crossed.
Oh, wow. Man, James, what a performance.
Wow, that was an Oscar-worthy performance.
Absolutely. Who would you compare him to? What recent Oscar winner?
I'd say Laurence Olivier. Sir Laurence Olivier.
Man.
Thanks, guys.
That was intense. I have to tell you, I'm not kidding around. That was good. I forgot.
I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sweating a little too.
The chief sounds like he's a very interesting character too. I feel like we may be hearing more from him.
I feel like, and don't get lost on this analogy, that the chief is sort of an onion, and that when you peel away more layers, you realize that there are additional layers on the inside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think.
But layers of personality,
right?
Not just more cellulose and
no. And when you cut into him, you cry.
Mm-hmm. Like
you cry?
Like an onion.
Yeah.
Mm. But he doesn't.
No.
He might.
Okay.
Well, all right, James.
But great job, James.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you very much. Thank
wonderful
you.
Wonderful job.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there'll be more parts for the chief written in the future. I don't know, because Brian is writing the script about his own life.
Right, exactly.
And we just have to sit back patiently and wait and hack into his computer.
How often do you hack in and there is nothing new? Do you, like, are you hacking in a couple times a day?
I hack in daily.
Okay, and is sometimes when you hack in, is there nothing script-related?
Sometimes.
What other types of things do you find, though?
Just notes and personal memos about motivational ideas that he wants to tell himself.
Like, can you give me some examples of those? Does he ever rhyme any of them or anything like that?
If you say all your prayers and always believe, your life will be exciting and you will constantly achieve. That one was a little kind of convoluted.
Brian wrote it. Look, you don't have to apologize.
Yeah. He always writes these motivational sentences to himself and ends them with 7 exclamation points.
And he puts the last word in all caps too, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, anyway, thank you, James. Yeah. And we're going to get back to the rest of the show.
Yeah. Thank you, James.
Anytime. Good luck.
God bless.
Yeah. Peace be upon you.
Akamal halahela. Is there something like that?
Yeah, it's assalamu alaikum.
There you go. Asalama,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that.
Assalamu alaikum.
Gotcha. That.
Yep.
Are you a fan of Shoddy Radio? Become one on Facebook. Do you have a question or comment for the guys? Email them at shoddyradio@gmail.com or call at 774-633-9669. That's 7 Shoddy Now.
This is a serious question.
Wait, we should...
All right.
Oh, Tara's here.
Yeah, Tara's here. We're going to do Tara's Top 10 in a minute.
All right, Tara, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm trying to be more smooth, and I want the opinion of a woman. So, if you were, let's just say... you were about to get sexually romantic with a gentleman, and let's just say that he wants to get you in the mood by talking kind of sexy to you, you know? And let's just say that, well, I want to just throw some sexy lines that maybe I want you to tell me if you think they're sexy or if you think they're not sexy enough or if you think they're too sexy.
I have a feeling C won't come up too much.
Okay. Like, so I'm just going to say a line. Just imagine like a guy's about to make sweet passion to you. And he looks you deep in your beautiful brown eyes. And he says, I want to make you come so hard that you have an abortion.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's not sexy, though.
That's not sexy at all.
You don't want to bring up.
So that's not sexy enough?
Not quite. I mean, you could have just asked me that one. But you want the opinion of a woman. All right,
well, imagine, like, if I was a woman, I would think that would be, like, the hardest I could ever come. Is to
abort but you
something.
Have to understand, from a woman's point of view, they're not thinking about how hard they want to come. They want a connection, Chris.
Mm. All right, good point.
And good point. All right, well, do you have any other lines, or was that the only one? You said you had a couple that you were going to throw.
Well, now that I heard she doesn't think that one's sexy enough, I think she might not like the next one.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Don't be nervous.
Okay, this is so juvenile now. You're not going to like this one, but I happen to think it's really sexy. If a man ever told me this and I was a woman.
Even not.
Okay, so the man, again, you're about to make sweet passion.
You don't have to set it up, please.
Oh, sorry. And he looks in you in your eyes and he goes, Tara, my dick's so big that you're going to feel like your vagina's taking a Thanksgiving poop.
Well, you do want to work the word poop in right before you have sex with somebody.
Well, I cleaned it up.
That's what gets a girl in the mood.
Do you like guys to brag about how big their dicks are right before they show up to you?
It's kind of a moot point because
I want to say like, oh, Tara, listen, my dick is so small. I don't even want to pull it out. And then you'll be like, no, it's okay. And I'll be like, okay. And then it's like, yeah, like slightly below average, and you're like, hey, that's not that bad.
So yeah. She's pleasantly surprised.
Right, exactly. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to kill that shit when I get you in the bedroom, you know, because you don't want to talk too much. Oh,
kill that shit.
In fact, figuratively, kill it.
Make it poop.
Or how about this? Like,
well, I think that guys that talk about the size, their size a lot,
right,
are just the talker, all talk and no walk.
Yeah, I never talk about mine. I never. What about you, Chris? Do you?
No, I never do either.
Ben?
Or I've never even insinuated that I have one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm still laughing at the Thanksgiving poop one.
God. That seems like the worst thing you could say.
Yeah. I'd rather you say that it comes to make me have an abortion one than the poop one.
Oh, you like that one better?
I don't think that's the way she would phrase it. But
well, you got to explain
the last thing
time.
I'd want to think about right before the action would be poop.
Well, you have to also think about how she might not get it, so you have to explain, like, because Thanksgiving poops traditionally are larger, which would mean that my penis is large, and instead of poop, you might say excrement.
All right, thanks.
Depending on if it's your first date or if you're comfortable.
Right, I gotcha.
If it's your first date, you would say that to a girl that you're about to sleep with? Well, I guess if she's going to sleep with you on the first date,
yeah, she's probably...
Whatever you want.
Or how about this, like... After you have make love to a woman, she realizes that she had her period in the middle of the coitus. Okay? So here's what I do.
Gross.
I'm
not saying gross about the period. I'm saying gross about you saying coitus for some reason.
She's obviously going to be hugely apologetic that you had to do that and it was so gross. But in order to calm her down and make her feel like it's not that big of a deal, say... No, it's okay. I don't mind when my dick looks like Ronald Goldman.
I think if a girl's apologizing and she's really embarrassed, the best thing you can do is make her laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and it's best
job.
Also if you fucked her in 1995.
Yeah, because if she doesn't know who Ronald Goldman is, it's not going to work.
That might not work for the younger generation.
Oh man. All right, well, Tara, we're having you on to do not to just tell you horrible things, but we're gonna do a top 10 list again, right? Tara's top 10.
Tara's top 10.
So this week's topic, or this podcast's topic is, what was it? Bands and countries.
Bands and countries.
So these are the top 10 puns, Tara's top 10 puns of combining bands and countries. Now, should we try to work out a rating system after each one, Chris and Ben, where you guys say...
How about if we just say thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up, thumbs down. There you go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, bands and countries. Number 10, 311 Venezuela.
Is there something I can give that's worse than thumbs down?
I bet you could find somewhere to put your thumb that's worse. 311 Venezuela.
The hardest part is reading them because they're...
No, the hardest part is listening to them.
Yeah. Okay. So 311 is Layla.
That's
number
good.
Nine. Miley Cyrus.
That, but Chris doesn't think that's funny because he doesn't know Cyprus is a country.
I know Cyprus is a country. I just didn't know Miley Cyrus was a superstar.
Ben's not even saying anything. Yeah. He's just waiting for number eight.
Ben, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Obviously, it's thumbs down all around. So we don't have to always say it if it's obvious.
All right.
Okay, now, number eight. You, Tunisia.
Ben, you're supposed to like number eight, remember?
Yeah, I usually like number eights, but you broke the streak.
Maybe she did what you said. She took her normal number eight and put it at number one.
Based on what we've heard so far, it's not as terrible, but it's still a thumbs down.
You Tunisia's
pretty good.
Well,
there's also B-50 Tunisia.
Yeah, the B-50 Tunisias.
Oh,
yeah.
That's slightly worse.
Number seven, Argentina Turner.
All right, there you go.
That one's
now
good.
We're getting somewhere.
Some sexy legs on that one.
I'm surprised Chris didn't make an Ike Turner joke.
Number six, Yemenim.
I don't hate it that bad.
Yay.
Yemenim is good.
It's no Argentina Turner.
Number five, Four Lebanon Blondes.
Now that is a good one. I can't believe you don't like that one, Chris. He's not even, he won't even look up.
I just think it's cheating.
Four Lebanon Blondes? What's cheating?
I don't know. I don't want to break out the rule book. Let's just keep moving.
He just wants it over.
All right, what number are we on?
Number four. Metallic Cambodia.
Well, that one doesn't count.
What? I don't understand.
It's not Metallica.
It's Metallica.
Metallic Cambodia.
That's Cambodia. That's a different place. That's the boat that Danny rents. The yacht he rents. Cambodia. He staffs it with a bunch of Cambodian first mates. He calls them.
Alright. What are we on? Number three? Four?
Number three, Bands and Countries. Number three. Denmarky Mark and the Funky Bunch China.
Wait, Denmarky Mark and the Funky Bunch China.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh.
I'm not sure I understand that.
Yeah.
One.
Denmarky Mark. Denmark. Denmarky Mark. And the Funky Bunch China.
What I understand about it is that it's not funny.
You're crazy.
That
was a good
so
one.
Oh, because
that should have been
like
number
two.
That's two countries in one band.
I'm not impressed.
Well,
that's amazing.
No.
All right, Chris, this one you'll like. Ready? Number two, Bands and Countries. John Bangladesh.
There was an alternative one for that, which was Bangladeshwala.
Yeah. That's another one.
Well, Chris, you are just not liking any of these tonight.
Look, Argentina Turner was all right. Eminem Yemen was okay.
It wasn't Eminem Yemen.
Was it Yemenim?
Yemenim.
Eminem Yemen is still not that bad.
All right, number one. Let's
Oh, I thought we already heard of that last count.
Number one, Bands and Countries. Nepal Simon and Madagascar Funkel.
Man, that one's pretty good.
Tara, you're lucky you're cute.
But I gotta tell you, there were so many good ones in this. I like all those.
I know. Do you want me to read some more? I have so many more.
Yeah,
it was so hard to narrow them down.
I'll give you some of my favorites that didn't make the list. Japanthrax.
That one's not bad. That's not bad.
God, I can't even think of all of them. The Bahamas and the Papas.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
How about Irancid?
Yeah, Irancid's a great one.
It's okay. That's middle of the road.
Hang on. Give me a second here.
What's going on?
I'm trying to find...
I've got one. Ready?
Yeah.
How about The Beach, boys.
The beach isn't a country.
Beach is a location.
It's not locations.
And then boys, Ben.
All right. Oh, that was one that I liked. The Nairobi 52s.
Oh, yeah. That was the other 52s that you were talking about
earlier.
Yeah,
exactly.
What about, here's another one. Palestina Turner.
No.
The Ecuadors.
What about Lil Norwayne?
That's a good one. You don't like the Ecuadors.
That's okay. It's
how about the black... Wait, what was it?
Yeah, the black turkeys.
No.
Egyptian kings?
Nah, not crazy about it.
I just heard Ben yawn.
I was wondering if that came through.
Oh, yeah, it did. Thanks. All right, that's it. We're just going to list them all now. Fuck you guys.
Give me a country, and I'll off the bat think of a better one.
Okay.
Than you.
Turkmenistan.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
Okay, I'll tell you, Turkmenistan. Turkmenistan Schubert.
Rainbow Schubert.
The Turkmen at... Ben, you'll like that, this one. The Turkmen at Workistan.
That's all right.
How about
Qatari?
What about Pearl Jamaica?
How about Kissimmee, Florida?
You don't understand the game, Chris.
I understand that it's not a good game.
New Zealand?
What about France? France Ferdinand? No.
Azerbaijan, Cricket. Denver. Vanilla Iceland?
How about that one? Just John Denver.
It's not states.
Joe Montana. What do quarterbacks
flock
in the 80s
of Portugals?
Next?
Oh, that is a good one. Flock of Portugals. Estonia Temple Pilots. House of Spain. Cameroon 5. Chilady Gaga. Guarminia.
I thought it was just going to be 10.
Vanilla Iceland. Paraguay Stripes.
Oh, 10 million.
Here's one of my favorites.
10 million.
This one's my favorite. Steely Sudan. Honduras. All right. I finally got
quit while you're ahead.
Exactly. I'm going to quit there. Well,
you're not going to top that one.
Nope. All right. Well, thank you, Tara.
Yeah, thank you guys.
I and many others enjoy your enjoy the puns, and that's some people don't enjoy them. That's fine.
I thoroughly enjoy them.
Well, thank you, Tara.
Thanks, Tara. Brian walks into his copy machine repair boss's office. You wanted to see me, Chief?
Well, if it isn't Master Tech Brian J. McCool.
McCool? That's his last name?
Yeah, we find out his last name in this.
Sorry, let me see. Well, if it isn't Master Tech Brian J. McCool. You've been living up to your reputation as a hothead, I hear.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been getting reports that you've been kicking a lot of ass while you're supposed to be fixing copy machines.
Wait, hang on a second. Danny, I think you're really supposed to be chewing Brian out right now.
Oh, okay, hang on. Should we start
You sound
over?
More like you're gonna
okay,
murder him.
I'm sorry.
Let's just take it from I've been getting reports. I've been getting reports.
I got you. I've been getting reports that you've been kicking a lot of ass while you're supposed to be fixing copy machines.
What's the problem?
The problem is, Hotshot, that I'm paying you to fix copy machines, not to fight with guys who are dishonoring women or solving crimes that the FBI has given...
I'm sorry.
All right, try that.
I'll try to take that again. The problem is, Hotshot, that I'm paying you to fix. It's funny because I'm reading ahead, but I'm trying not to laugh. The problem is, Hotshot, that I'm paying you to fix copy machines, not to fight with guys who are dishonoring women or solving crimes that the FBI has given up on because they were too hard.
Did you get that?
Sorry. I get really emotional here.